find some people.
That's all right, I'll trim it.
Yeah.
We'll record this anyway.
Within the group, they're willing to offer up their dwelling.
Well, yes, thank you very much. There's that. And, there's also, you know, curious public places to meet.
But it's generated out of the loitering event in the public place. And when the weather's good, find a place and sit until they throw us the hell out.
Yeah.
Just loiter.
Right. It has a loitering nature.
So there's some thoughts about it.
Well, we're all really good at justifying what we need or want, right? I mean, inwardly, I can feel all kinds of reasons for doing a thing or not doing a thing, for being committed to a thing or not being committed to a thing, right? And each one is a very plausible and believable waveform. It's kind of like you have to applaud all the voices in your head and said, well played. You know, yeah, you're
right.
Give me
another one, that's good.
Yeah, and they don't end, do they? I mean, and we're very curvaceous, right? In terms of how we can justify stuff or come up with a sentiment and put our foot down or cooperate with a situation or finally get to a point where something has to change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
It was a big deal in the early part of the century. You heard of Madame Blavatsky.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's a big deal.
He's the reincarnated for
what?
What's that? He's the reincarnated for Blavatsky.
That would account for my size.
I think that's how I came up with it in the first place. They just look alike.
You made that connection pretty quick.
Yeah, we do look alike. That's
they're
right.
Called Salon. Really, they were called Salon.
What were they? What was that?
Salon, yeah.
That movement.
Pardon?
What was that?
Theosophy.
Was it a Theosophy?
Madame Blavatsky, she predated Theosophy, but it came, come from her and her esteemed colleagues.
And that's when, like, Victorian England would meet in parlors and have, like, little psychic kind of gatherings or something? I mean, what was her doing?
She did have a psychic background.
Yeah.
They were looking for the world leader, the next world leader. They were looking for the next Buddha, the return of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the Theosophists were after. They wanted to place themselves on a sufficiently high pedestal. So if they were looking for the Buddha, that will make them a lot more special than me. I wasn't looking for the Buddha, so I might join them. And now I'm looking for the Buddha, so I'm more special than the next guy. So they found the Buddha. It turned out to be Jay Krishnamurti, but they had found other Buddhas, which is synonymous with beautiful, young, cherubic men that Madame Blavatsky's, downstream lieutenants wanted to have in their coven. So they'd gone through a bunch of statuesque, but young, beautiful, thin, slender, cherubic men that they could teach how to bathe.
All in the name of spirituality.
Yeah.
Hey, let's wrap sex and spirituality and call it something better than this.
You know, someone said, hey, let's go looking for the Buddha. The other guy said, good idea. I hope it's a beautiful young boy.
That
I can bathe. But this got a lot of mileage. It got a lot of mileage and a lot of money and a lot of attention. The entire Order of the Star, created under the auspices of Jay Krishnamurti, who turned out to be the reluctant messiah that they were seeking, who apparently had some involuntary amorous relationships with one of his mentors, or was taught how to bathe with soap, a young Indian boy from a Brahmin family. You don't bathe with soap. So there's all kinds of fun things that occurred. So that's where Madame Blavatsky ended up. Her contribution to the world was the, you know, through Annie Besant and Ledbetter, was the discovery and cultivation of the person of Jiddu Krishnamurti, who told them in no uncertain terms, please just fuck off. And they weren't so happy about it.
I think I read something like that was the last time Neptune was in Pisces, and now Neptune is in Pisces again, and so...
Are you kidding? Run!
Run.
Run, everybody, run.
Try.
What is this suggesting? A new Krishnamurti is about to be found?
People are going to be pulled into some sort of spirituality, but deception.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, the deceivers have been set loose.
We're
Someone opened the Pandora's box and they've all flown out like demons. I have to count myself amongst them. Just another... It's like that guy in the Hobbit thing. What was his name? Wormtongue?
Wormtongue?
You don't remember Wormtongue? He could lie to anyone and they would believe him. And that's how he got one of the kings under his control. Wormtongue. He was great. He had a very slithering kind of lizard-like way. And you couldn't resist him. He just, he was so on you and so hypnotic, he would just steal your mind away. He was good.
Like a rescue, like that?
Sure.
I like him.
Maybe well, that's who he's for.
Let's say you're in the business of this, this New Age stuff, right? Mm. You're in the business of spirituality. Well, now you're already fucked pretty solid, aren't you?
Especially when there's young boys involved.
We're looking for, you know, we're looking for a surrogate parent, or we're looking for a surrogate godhead of the gender of your, you know, preference and familiarity, right? We're looking for an uber persona to soothe us into everything will be all right. Or a mega persona of whatever persuasion that if you put your money down, if you give your heart away, if you buy enough coconuts, you will be blessed with the gift of self-realization as presented. I mean, what are all of these large groups about? Even small ones sometimes, right? Or you meet someone that has the uncanny gift for off-body, if not remote, healing. And that means now that the capacity, the yogic capacity to heal, you know, without instruments or even remotely now places you in a certain place of wonder or high regard as a human being that can benefit others. And that's another way to go into the healing game. And they're all entrapping. Everyone to the last drop is entrapping. Because the motive of participating in them commonly, and we can all check in for ourselves. The motive in participating in them usually has something to do with my disappointment or angst as a human.
Or just total, complete fear.
Fear.
About God only knows what.
Sure.
Pleasant.
Yes, and those fears, disappointments, and disorientations, you could say are constituent elements of what we call human nature, right? So I go to some kind of group or belief system or idolatry for self-soothing, to ameliorate the crisis of my soul, or the crisis of my body, the crisis of my addiction, the crisis of my loneliness.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
And these are not to be condemned or held in contempt. All of these crises are tailor-made, right? Carefully woven sheaths that you could say contribute to the adventure of waking up, if there is such an adventure in your destiny.
What they all, in fact, second stage addition. I mean, what precedes
anything? What precedes
anything?
Yeah. It's strange. Looking at this marvelous capacity or illustration of dreaming might appear as if it's causal. That it unfolds in time.
Mm-hmm.
But what if what we're seeing is the past, present, and future? It's not really a linearity. It just appears so. It's, right?
Yes.
The harmonic of only the presence.
I can work with that.
Yeah.
It means that we're picking off one aspect of the instantaneous harmonic. There is available other parts of it to see. Because the whole thing is all at once.
Yeah.
And you're fucked into believing that there's a story.
Yeah, and that only one piece of it makes some kind of sense that,
right.
Yeah, you can sum up in a simple, cute metaphor. And, yeah. Good luck.
So when we tangle with our lives.
Okay.
We typically tangle with our lives or seek solutions to that entanglement because of the mirage that you have actually been given agency and shit has and is happening to you, and you really would be best responding to that by taking control.
And not letting it happen ever again.
So
you're never going to let this get one up on you ever again.
Look at the curious reply.
Failure.
Here's this marvelously eloquent revelation that there's no time, that it's just randomly chosen or picked or expressed from the bubble of the present moment that makes it look like something happened to you or us or the community prior to now, which led up to, and will keep unfolding in the imagination of your durable life. But it's imagined.
Yeah.
And yet our reply to it is to fight back,
yeah,
to insist on one's own psychic hegemony, to get what's mine, to win the golden ring. Whether it's healing as the golden ring, or becoming a healer, or a psychic, or someone like Carolyn Meese, or Wayne Dyer, or someone like Deepak Chopra. This way you could speak to maybe tens of millions of people over the course of a lifetime, burning yourself out like just a workaholic puppet, and handing out spiritual banalities which make everyone think you know something. And that's how you want to live your life? Good luck, most success. And I'm not even saying it's a problem. Deepak, yes. Adyashanti, yes. Eckhart Tolle, how much does it cost to talk to Eckhart Tolle for 3 minutes? What, your firstborn and then some? Eckhart Tolle, yes. What? Everyone's yes. Pebble Hill, yes. Jeff, yes. Right? Condemning emails, yes. Revelation of people's hidden agendas, yes. Pursuit of power and the pursuit of those that have power, yes. Oh my fucking God. So in the midst and the mist of all this, do we give up hope?
Mm.
Right? Yeah. It makes as much sense to say absolutely and as much sense to say not yet or absolutely not, right? Because it's just kind of a momentary sensation of, ah, freedom from hope, or I'm so hopeful. Right? Either one can give you a moment's injection, a moment's relief from self.
And show up, like, without any, you know, warning, or you're just like, oh, fuck, this again.
Pretty much. Sitting at this, meeting the other day with my dear friends, I was overwhelmed by the theater of it all. That everyone who was there played who they are, mm-hmm. how they present, who they think they are, what they need to say, what their belief systems are, their loyalties are, their mistrusts are, their hidden agendas, whether they got railed or derailed. Everyone was on script.
Straight out of central casting.
Right out of central casting, all union members. And I was like, this is actually surreal. It's unbelievable. However, I had that kind of crestfallen wave that I might have been the only one in the room to revel in that.
The only one that had some perspective that it's no more than a show.
Hard to say. It's so strange. This gentleman spoke so eloquently about the nature of time, and so how does one even have a perspective? Right? Even a perspective that seems like, oh, I'm the only one in the room because I'm so full of myself, and that's true.
You're in the club.
Seeing that I'm the one that's seeing what's going on,
right.
You could say, with the more sublimity than the next primate.
Well, it's just, again, trying to one-up this. You're like, I got this.
Yeah, that's so. It doesn't mean one shouldn't delight or revel in the view that you're having right now. Really, that's all you've got, is the view that's happening right now. And that view may contain, and often does contain, the lengthy elasticity of the imagination that you lived a moment before now and are likely to live a moment from now. You can see the whole chronology of your timeline in your own brain, if that's the organ we want to hold responsible for this. And you're like, oh my goodness. And when do we do that? Where do we do that? Here, now. We see the entire, if we care to, if our attention is turned that way, we can see the entirety of the imaginary life that we've lived from now, going back through, right, a cascade of bizarre memories. And we have no idea how to hard drive seek, SSD seek, right, this repository of memory. The olfactory, the visual, the textual, the emotive, right? The tastes. It's incredible that nothing actually happens other than the present, but everything else is recalled with such seductive, sublime confidence.
But there, you do have a hint, because one comes from seemingly the head or the pictures of one is played in here.
Yes.
The other is air on the skin, you know, pillow under my legs. The other is so different in texture and feel than the conjecture about the past.
Yes, that's why it's worth taking the risk to suggest the hallucination that there's the virtual and the actual. You can't really rest there, but it's a good temporary tool to feel the difference between hallucinating as daydream and whatever it means to feel this unencumbered. It's a lie, of course, because we can't really, really place ourselves in some sublimity which is other than some other sublimity. So memory and functioning, call it as a hallucinating human, is non-stop sublimity, even if it doesn't feel that way. And then for a realizer who kind of rests in the absurd relaxation of I don't know what this is, that's also a sublimity.
What is it about the imprints of certain memories? Like, I have certain memories that have an imprint of what you might call radiant presence.
Sure.
Certain things and situations kind of bring that back.
Yes.
It's almost like a memory triggers a different experience of here and now.
Yes. Oh, man. If you find out, let's make a million.
It's like...
Yes, you can.
It comes close and gets vivid.
You can smell it.
From something that's seemingly a memory of the past.
Yeah. There's something about...
You're looking again in the present.
It's like a cellular memory. Like how it feels.
That vividness is strange. And there is a vividness that can creep up on you, or a certain kind of stimulus might remind you of a different geometry of being. There is a vividness. But and to call it cellular is wonderful, but you know, it's like I don't know where to go. I don't know the least common denominator, file cabinet or bucket, whether it's cellular or photonic, that reminisces profoundly about the nature of awake.
You put it in a bottle, I drink it all day long.
We do. We do.
If it was possible.
We do. Hi. Am I too late
to join the group?
Well, let's... No, you're not. And we want to make sure we know what group you want to join so we don't embarrass you.
Been driving around for about an hour. Mm-hmm. So I know there was a meditation at 7:30 and an awakening, and I don't want to go to meditation because I know it would be too late to go in there. Interrupt the group.
I see. You'd prefer to be there, but we'll let you in.
I wanted to come here, actually.
Yes.
And then when I got here late, I said, okay, well, it's confirmed I'm to be here and not over there.
or there's pillows if you want to.
A chair or a cushion, headstand, whatever you like.
Everyone's on a cushion.
No chair kind of day.
And write your own risk. We should put on the board. And write your own risk.
Yeah.
My name is Jeff. I'm more or less the facilitator of these circles.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, your name is?
I'm Katharina.
Katharina?
Yes.
From
A-T-H-E-R-I-N-A. It's Katharine with an A at the end.
Katharina.
It's Hungarian.
Oh, it's nice, yeah.
Katharina. It's a family name.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, not like how Katharina.
Others may wish to share their names with you.
Andrew.
Suzanne.
Francine.
Yeah, I'm Frank, half a mile away.
Frank, nice to meet you.
I mean, half an hour. Where are you from?
I'm living in Jamison right now, and I left at 7:07.
Was that a little too late to get here?
I thought it was on Pebble Hill Road.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been going up and down.
You didn't miss the sign then?
I did.
Yeah. Is that why they call you Katharina?
Yes.
Who misses the signs? I'm Dances with Wolves. I'm Katharina who misses the signs. Yeah.
Yes, I used to live around this area, and for the past 18 years, I've been living in Richmond, Virginia, and then I just moved back to this area last fall. I'm just living with family right now.
Thank you. We've somewhat grown accustomed to a microphone. We've been recording these conversations lately for the benefit of lost souls that might listen to them on the internet. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay.
So far, there's been no reports of suicide after listening to the recordings.
I came close.
Yeah, I hear you.
Nobody's ever listened to us.
We're
I like this group.
We're flexible and unruly. We were just in the midst of a reverie as you walked in, but we don't give a shit. There's more to come. What's on your mind? So you were struggling between you were thinking cogently about meditation or something as foolish as awakening, and you were glad that your missing the signs gave you the confirmation to come here instead of sit quietly with sober-minded people.
I did that last night.
Well, anything you'd care to contribute or play around with within the body of your curious interests in what anyone might call is awakening?
Right now I just kind of like to listen to others. Mm-hmm.
Good move. Pawn to king 3. Horse to queen 7.
I wish I would have
seven.
Taken that move.
Yeah.
Good.
I wish I had. Yes.
Really. Swift move. Well, I think at we were kind of playing around with the nature of memory and the confidence that we place in the memory of our lives.
We have memory.
What the nature of, you know, experience is when you start to peel away some of the presumptions about what the nature of experience is. You could say the curious culprits that could be responsible for suffering and sorrow and grief, hidden agenda, dissatisfaction, those kinds of things that we suffer from and we rarely tell anyone about. And just looking at the entirety of the curious mystery of, you know, human experience from the context of, let's say, a playful discovery. I mean, we don't have a liturgy or a prayer book here. You're the liturgy, you're the prayer book. So the intimacy with Source, or the deity of our, you know, chosen affection, the nature or promise of bodhicitta, or awakened mind, is present. One's journey, if you will, to the most sublime self-acceptance ends here. Always. Well, we may possess quite an inventory of self-accusation and a moral report card that I might impose on myself. I may be restless and frustrated with, you know, obsessional thinking or confusion or disorientation. Maybe I use mantra or yoga or kirtan or ayahuasca or vipassana or the power of now to attempt to soothe myself, ameliorate my disorientation. But we like to play around with the freebie, if you will, that this present moment is your entire life has led up to this moment. As it always is, even if you're at the Red Nurse, or at the post office, or at the Dunkin' Donuts, right? Our entire life always has led us, in a manner of speaking, to this beatitude. and we fail to see or take refuge in this beatitude because we're so busy with a hallucinatory agenda of what I'm doing today and why, where I'm going and why, what I've chosen to do next or not and why. And rarely ever do we just put a hold on the habit to dwell in an imaginary life that's not actually mine and just sit the F down and begin to feel what this is. We withdraw, in a manner of speaking, from the hallucination that is fomenting instantaneously in our own mind. There's no need to withdraw from the world, because there's not one. The only wise withdrawal one might want to take on is the withdrawal from the meaning that is being created in situ, in your experience, in a manner of speaking by you spontaneously. Because if we feel this, I don't hear it saying anything to me. In terms of where I am, what I am, who I am, why I am, that this is the consequence of an event 14 billion years ago, some other clown might call the Big Bang. I'm not hearing the physics lesson here now. There's just what here now. And if I'm not the one imposing meaning, justification, explanation, demand, entitlement upon it, then what is the nature of my actual experience? If the engine of meaning, the crafty and sane and luscious engine of meaning making, goes into abatement here, this perfect solitude that makes no demands on us at all is the plenum or home ground as the gift of being. The hysteria that we bring to it, called my life, is absolutely secondary. It's contrived. It's made up. It's conditioned.
It's pretty clearly well spoken for a beginner. I don't know if there's anything left of you.
If you came in looking for hope, forget it.
This is dreaming us. We're not dreaming it, even though there's no genuine separation between it and us. This is dreaming this. And it's doing it right here. Not when the Big Bang occurred, which didn't. Not when you were conceived, which is somewhat specious. Not when you were born, which was also imposed upon you. Right? The dreaming is not something that happened to us as a matter of hereditary disappointment. The dreaming is present. It's alive. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will be live. And here it is. Before I identify as a gender or a person with girth, thank you, Frank.
It wasn't apparent.
I'm just saying congratulations.
He was admiring girth.
A girthful guy.
He was saying it gave you power, apparently.
Yeah. Before,
that's why I'm eating all the donuts.
Before any of us identify as anything, including the imagination of a past, or even a present, or even a future, this is this. The miracle of life, sentience, prescient consciousness is primarily so, an impersonal primacy of being. And it's not concerned about my beliefs, my pleasures, my preferences, my entitlements, my prayers, my lamentations, my gratitudes. It's just not. It doesn't mean that if I express gratitude, like I've been told in oh so many 12-step meetings, that I would start feeling better about life. Well, I'm not good with gratitude. Someone else might be. I gave it a whirl, but I just couldn't get my heart behind it, you know? I'm like, hey man, like I'm really grateful for, no, I don't give a shit. No, man. So I had to find another vehicle, right? I had to find another vehicle to secure my sobriety and move through the spiritual ladder of total emancipation without gratitude. I had to find another route. Ho-hos. That's where I went. I went to the ho-hos, and that's why...
Jojo.
Yeah, no. Well, I used to...
I get to go out by ho-hos.
Well, I used to live near the Mexican border.
Yeah.
We call them ho-hos down
there.
Yeah,
ho-hos, yeah. Those are...
Oh. Now we're going to start having ho-ho parties to try and increase our...
We're just playing around with this really simple village idiot kind of revelation that none of us knows what this is, and it's giddy.
Well, we know it's not a recitation of a personal story.
Yeah, so we yes.
Katrina. So Katrina. We don't know. So you will not have an opportunity to say Ruby Lambo as if we do.
I don't know that.
I've never seen anybody Lambo.
Yes, Jeff has.
He's scaring you unnecessarily.
I know. I'm like, throw a donut at him. If anyone bothers you in this group, just throw a donut in their face.
You could say something curious happens by participating in this more than half a time.
Yeah.
As we begin to articulate the possibility that one's present experience is indeed the entirety of really a uncontainable mystery, then just organically we start to play around with what it feels like to be present. And the, you could say, fondness, the affection that we once had for our personal stories, or the reasons we think we went anywhere, it just become less interesting to us. That's all. That's all that happens. But it's not a matter of insisting that anyone that comes in, you know, like kind of a Gestapo lieutenant would say, no stories! You know, stories
on. Usually that happens.
Well, it can when someone gets... It's possible we can all go into, you know, a kind of reverie about what happened to me or what's happening to me. And I know a lot of stuff is happening to so-called everyone. But for the brief time that we're together, for the few nights or mornings we meet in a week, we just experiment with being human, social, together, curious, and we don't dwell on stories. It's very refreshing. Really, it is. I find it so. I mean, but I'm jaded, you know. Being comfortable without having to conjure, insist upon a story, though I'm nonstop like the rest of us, there's no question about it. But just being comfortable not necessarily to believe as fervently in it as I once did, you could say creates a little bit of room, a little bit of elasticity, so that we, in a sense, learn to return to the nourishing feeling tone of present experience. rather than, right, the hysteria of all kinds of insecurities that may be swirling around my consciousness, my experience. Very few adult humans, I think children are much better at it, right? But very few adult humans know what it's like to be socially and, I'll dare say, intimately engaged with others in the presence of feeling. We all revert somewhat sheepishly and shyly or politically correctly or not into swagger and bling and stories.
If you got bluster.
And bluster, if you've got a good story going, yeah. And bluster.
Well, in the normal everyday world, that's what looks like the coin that you want to both collect and spend.
Oh, yes, it is a currency, isn't it?
That's a currency.
Yeah, the currency of hanging out in a human tribe, even a fractured human tribe like Western consumer society. The coin of the realm is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, story. Sure.
It plays well.
I think we're all around in a Seinfeld episode. Let me tell you what happened at the bank.
Well, what do you do with your hardware? You recount the day.
We just gaze in each other's eyes.
What happened?
Yeah.
This happened. That happened. She said.
So she says, and then I said, and then I go. And then she goes. Right.
And then she said that I said that we said that then. Following me? No.
Did anybody ever see that Terrence Malick movie? I can't remember the name, of Brad Pitt, where he was like.
Somebody.
Well, it was like I tell a story. Like
give us a
person.
Little more, just a little more than that.
Come on, Suzanne.
Do I have to Google Terrence Malick? I mean, do you really want to go with
Well, in my memory is shot, but it's like his brother's dying, and then he remembers their childhood. And
Tree of Life?
Yeah, Tree of Life. Oh, my God.
Terrence Malick, Tree of Life. Yeah, thank you.
Wow, you guys just read each other's minds.
Thanks for helping the old person.
Yeah.
Great visuals. Boring as shit storyline.
I thought it was really pretty, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. But then
and the reason for us to recall this film was what?
Well, just how, like, his...
What's the point here?
The myth, like... It's like they have everything from, like, the Big Bang... In it, and dinosaurs.
Did he start with the Big Bang?
Childhood.
Did
they? Yeah.
Good place to start.
Yeah, it's really out there. You don't know what's going on. It's sort of like...
They get it all in there.
Yeah, they get it all in there in this beautiful visual...
The audience was pleased.
I read in a quote from Sean Penn, who was in the movie, and he said, I still have no idea what that movie was about.
So you're saying that's pretty much what our lives are like?
Is pretending that we know.
That's how I experience it.
Pretend. Somebody's making something up about knowing.
I don't know. I guess it was just some sort of random riff that I wanted to, because it combined all the elements of like who you are, the myth of everything, all.
It was the antithesis of what we've come here to take a look at.
Yeah,
the whole movie was the antithesis.
Well, it was all happening at the same time, though. I mean, kind of, right?
Hmm? It's like, I didn't get that far. I'll take your word for it.
Well, who was saying that the past, the present, or it's all...
Someone. Blame it on someone. Ram Dass said it.
No, I mean tonight somebody said it.
Oh, she did. It's you, the new person.
Seemed to have. Like a Fellini movie where it's all kind of happening at one time.
Crazy.
You see, you show up and we just start accusing you of stuff you didn't even say.
We know you were thinking it.
Well, sometimes there's movie discussions here that I like.
That you like. That's why I come. I come for the movie discussion. You're really looking for a movie discussion group.
You made a wrong, a serious
to
wrong
talk
turn.
About like this. It's just this.
Is that what you thought, Kevin? This is? Is that why he comes?
Yes. Yeah. I come for the show.
Oh, I thought we were at a weird movie group.
Okay, well, movie discussion group it is. Who's next? I really liked Coneheads. Honey, you give good cone. You know, consume freely.
Beldar.
Yeah. Bubble Boy was another good one.
That was a Seinfeld thing, wasn't it?
That was a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
There was also a full-length motion picture called Bubble Boy.
I wonder if I've seen that.
What if it were possible that spontaneously, with no effort, no drama. She's breathing, that's the first thing. She's breathing, she's fine.
I'm not sure what happened there.
She's practicing her spit takes. I think the timing is a little off.
Maybe that. Let's start that again. Would you come in again with that water and let's see if we can get through this next, the next take? Take again. Take another take.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
That'll be in the outtakes on the end. We'll have an outtake.
This is the outtake reel.
Yeah.
This is the outtake reel for our entire lives. Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a spit take now. I'll have that.
So is it real clear now what this is all about? How'd we do?
She's like, I wonder if I could slip out of here.
No, really.
Yeah,
really. Hey, I need to go to the bathroom too. Bye.
I was just thinking, it's kind of like that movie you were describing. I never heard of. It makes sense to you in your head. So it's all making sense to you all in your head.
That's right.
And it's like everything's happening at once. Mm-hmm. She's spitting up.
She does that.
You're talking about something nobody knows what you're talking about. You're talking about a boy in a bubble. It's like everything is happening.
Yeah, that's it. And then we have pie.
Sometimes.
Well, that's the case, yes. I mean, not that it's the finality of the revelation of living, but it sure comes in handy to kind of appreciate that, yeah, everything is happening. Yeah, right. I mean, let's say your next thought, your next sentiment, you know, whatever body language appeals to you. How much premeditation is there for your next thought, for the next impression, for the next thing that ripples through, if you have to scratch your shoulder, anything? Can we become, let's say, simple enough to get a feeling for, oh my goodness, this is actually doing itself? That I only claim I chose after the fact.
And they've proven that, like, from looking at an MRI, for whatever that's worth, that people don't know what they're going to do with their brains now before they know what they're going to do. So.
And this is, we're suggesting, unconscious, involuntary, mm-hmm. not the result of choice. Or, even if it's something subtle in the so-called brain, mm-hmm. is there a persona back there that, mm-hmm. that someone could say, oh yeah, I still I chose, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? No, there's no choice because things are happening through, you know, thermographing, mm-hmm. right, or electromagnetic graphing of brain tissue, that the impulse is actually occurring in a so-called place or origin source that has nothing to do with choice, decision-making, willpower, but simply occurs spontaneously, and then the sense of having chosen arises in other parts or similar parts of the brain as an artifact. As an artifact. That should be on the front page of every, pretty much every magazine and newspaper.
Then we wouldn't be able to have a criminal justice system or religion.
Huh. Oh yeah, we better keep quiet about this. Did they shoot the guy that came out with that study?
Who says we wouldn't, though? We'd all just play our roles. Is it possible we're just playing our roles and it's like, or we're being played, kind of? You know, who says that we're doing it or we're not doing it? Or you let go of all that? You don't have to beat yourself up if you're falling short. You don't have to, you know, pat yourself on the back if you think you're just doing so good. It's not about me. It could be, it's just being done.
Well, we're playing, yes, exactly. We're playing with the texture of, for lack of a better word, freedom or liberation. From the entirety of the hallucination of belief, of meaning. The entirety. And that doesn't necessarily, that you could say that transcends the notion that I should win as a human.
To try to approach that with the agenda of, if I do this, then I get to win.
Is already, right, that's right. You're already in jail. Yeah. What if freedom or liberation or awake were so peculiarly startling that obliterated in an instant, and this instant's a good one, where you have nothing, you're not the product of anything. You're not actually the product or the consequence of anything. It can make you a little giddy, I think. Mm. Look how much pressure.
What else could it be?
Well, I think that's a fair question. What else could it be?
Where are you going to go for something else?
I don't know. Well, the Oprah Winfrey Show? So if we strip away the impulse, the hubris, the pride that we take in this A being about something, that it's the consequence, that my experience is the consequence of something or things. If we take away the insistence on personal will being in charge, that the entirety of the phenomenal and experiential expression is actually in a kind of weird autopilot, and we just come in and claim choice, ownership, and
credit.
Thank you. Credit after the fact.
Or victimhood.
Hmm?
Or victimhood.
Or, yes, thank you so much. Or victimhood, that's right. Wow. It doesn't really take that long if you give your attention to it, to strip away the gloss, the patina of human belief. Through the most effortless, superstitious-free appreciation of the revelation of this presence, being absolutely exonerated and unencumbered from human travail, from belief, from meaning, justification, causal expression, even space, time, and place. Where are you occurring? In a room at a church that's kind of off the main road that you missed a few times? Mm-hmm. Where are you occurring? Where's the nature of your beatitude occurring? In your body? In Pennsylvania, Northern Hemisphere? Earth? Milky Way? Local cluster? Where is it occurring? And without thinking, if you just give me 1 second, and thanks so much for considering a reply, but without thinking, you don't really know where it's occurring. Your present experience is actually transcendent of space and time and every possible boundary. And the only way to create a boundary is through the imagination of thought. through association. But otherwise, the presence of you has no boundary whatsoever.
I did have a response. I'm kind of like stuck in my head on something else that was said.
Oh, let's just take that undone.
Yeah, just to get rid of it just so I can concentrate more on what's being said now. Is you had said that we're, you know, not a product or a consequence of anything.
Yes.
And my immediate feeling was, oh, well, what am I then? And I all of a sudden just had like negative feelings about myself, bad feelings. And then I'm sitting here thinking, well, what am I then?
Yeah.
And it's not a good feeling I'm getting from that.
Right. Did you answer it subtly without recognizing how you may have answered it? Did you answer the question, what am I then, with anything that you might associate with some kind of negative or unpleasant self-image?
No, it was just a negative feeling that I got, nothing specific.
Just how could you play around just for fun, for our benefit, why that feeling was, you'd express having that feeling as a negative feeling?
I can't right now.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens.
Could you find other...
I started to tell myself, oh, but I'm a good person. I mean, why do I feel so bad? These little conversations going on in my head.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I understand.
It's funny how we want to settle for this, you know, like our personalities with our little stories and our myth. Like, we're settling, right? If we just take this as it, you know, as we think it is, as opposed to what it is.
Yes. Would it be, just as an experiment, because that's pretty much all we got, to ask that same question again? If I or this is not the consequence of anything, if it's just supremacy without justification.
I feel better. Because it's no, just because.
Yeah. You might see, I mean, it's really profound, and I appreciate your bringing it up, that having some contact with the impersonal nature of present experience, not being or possibly not being the consequence of anything, not answering to anyone, it's quite possible to have a kind of a reaction where I'm just not comfortable with that much space. I'm not comfortable how to fit the weirdness of my present experience in a volumeless, boundaryless, justifiable-less, oh my God, this is so. And so I could see how, you know, beginning to play around with even the remote possibility that this is so in the way that it's so, could create some ripples in the field of a sense of me. Because I really don't know if I look at things leaning in these kinds of directions. I really don't know how to justify, you could say, the imagination of myself. What am I then, if I'm not the result of anything? And if I don't follow, let's say, the hook or reflex of trying to be about something, can I find a little curiosity, if not wonder, comfort, of relaxing into this presence without the imposition of any boundary or definition? And perhaps not go into the trigger of self-esteem, right? All the possible dark holes of self-esteem, which we all know so well. Yeah. How about this actually doesn't need to be esteemed? That we're not relying on anyone else, the parent, the priest, the teacher, the boss, the spouse, the child, members of the church, to be responsible for the quality of our esteem? What if you are a solo act of unmitigated shining? It's clear in the culture, you don't often hear a message like the one we're playing around with, that the dignity and esteem of the child is autonomous and supreme. Instead, we raise each other, right, as parent and child, usually with the kind of a great deal of manipulation and threat of consequence and unintended wounding, where we smatter our, let's say, right to self-esteem, you know, on the gutter. And the whole culture is built on the desecration of dignity and self-esteem, because we've been reduced to consumerist robots that can only think in the ways that they would permit us to think. And if you take the risk to think or feel or emancipate from the hallucination of the culture, then you have the capability of transcending the myth of self-esteem.
But that's just a myth too.
Well, do it first and then then check in. Yeah, let us know. Yes, everything that's conjured, right, is of course mythic in nature. Because we're looking at, in a sense, we're trying to encourage or reinforce the self of a quality of transcendent view that's absolutely myth-free. Now, if that's a myth, okay. I mean, there's no way, right, to find anything in experience that's not mythic. Mm-hmm. So it's all myth, mm-hmm. but that's not meant to make it small. I mean, to see it as all myth.
Well, if there's no causality, then that's not even relevant, though.
It can go in all kinds of curious mm-hmm. directions, as feeling tone, as first-hand experience, and the way that you may articulate it from moment to moment. There's no one position, is there, when we're dwelling in a very creative plasma mm-hmm. where anything can present itself and, let's say, conjure our attention, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's this dancing
instinct.
Dancing Wu Li myth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll entertain that right now. I want to entertain this now.
Yeah. Yes.
Seems to me like...
Follow the bouncing ball.
Yeah.
Follow the bouncing ball of the incredible, yeah. Delightful nature of your present consciousness. Mm-hmm. I really am much more fond of cultivating dignity than I am control. But dignity is steep, because dignity is not about being a human. Dignity is freedom from the myth of human. And so a human that were to hear this kind of conversation might not pick up, might not see that it's a plea for dignity. They might be upset by having the imagination of their worldview be questioned.
You started it.
I tend to.
Now you're double backing. Or
yeah.
That's back the one. Best part.
Can't take it back.
Yeah. You know, a male peacock has the gift of seducing the female.
Like, where's this going?
Into abeyance by shimmering his mm-hmm. colors.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne's like.
And so
for everything, yeah, that's what this does. You get no chance, but it's doing you at the same time. So
this shimmering of color is appearing in your very first-hand experience. It's enticing us. It makes it appear as if there is a world. That things are happening and that they're happening to me. Such is the profundity of the color and the shimmering and the enticement. Under its spell, then, association with the myth of human is easy to come by. If you peer into the shimmering without the reflex of making meaning, speak to it then.
Mm. Oh, the joy.
What?
I said, oh, the joy. The world firsthand experience.
We don't typically examine the incredible psychic pressure that we're under as humans, inhabited persons. We just suffer it. We navigate. We justify. We medicate. We try to get our fair share of whatever in whatever circumstance. Sometimes we are treated to spontaneous emancipation from self. As in, now's good. That reflex to assert oneself into the future, place oneself in the story of the future, by virtue of meaning-making or cogitation or daydreaming or anticipation or planning, keeps us in the game. Keeps me in the game as a independent, acting, thinking, willing, choosing, deciding, occurring creature. Every so-called moment, and there are really none, consciousness, because we need to blame someone. So we'll blame consciousness for seducing us into planting, cultivating, watering, weeding, and harvesting meaning. Nonstop, spontaneously with no calories. And only the appearance of consequences, not actual consequences. So the elasticity of self with a capital S is not going to be appreciated or attained or wallowed in through the movement of mind, through the movement of metaphor. The luster of liberation is just this, with no takeaway, with no consequence, with no dog in the fight. The shimmering of all this color is happening, you could say, at your pleasure, at your disposal. Was there anything else that caught your attention that you thought it might be valuable to work through, think through, feel through? Queen to knight six.
I will say, though, it's got me thinking of a lot of what I'm getting is what you're saying, just be in the moment.
What else
Nothing
you got?
Else matters. It's just be in the moment. It doesn't matter how you got there or what you did to get there and what's going on.
That moment where all this being can be had is never not with you. It's not like I have to race to Pebble Hill to get to the meeting on time to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the subjective nature of the miracle of consciousness itself is that moment and that being, which means you don't even have to worry or even remember to be in the moment, because that's all you got. It's already all you've got, nothing more or less than that, being in the moment.
Whatever happens, then that's the moment.
Hasn't it always been the case?
I never thought so. So now.
Does it make a little sense that
it
maybe?
Makes a little sense, yeah.
Isn't that curious? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never thought so, but when you put it that way, it's like, whoa. It's always only been the moment that I was doing my damnedest or lifting no finger at all to be in. It's all we've ever had. That's all this is.
And I think it's also the, what you do with those moments.
Well, now,
how you react to those moments or your actions in those moments.
But even those are profoundly at remarkably impersonal. If I really get, if I spoon with the moment, let's say, I'm spooning with the moment. I'm not thinking about what I might do about anything. And no matter what shows up, whether pleasant or unpleasant, threatening or otherwise, is going to be what shows up profoundly, remarkably, impersonally, on an order of magnitude that's incomprehensible for that so-called moment. And it's so huge, it's so vibrant, it's so fractal, it's not even possible to say what it is. Because each moment, even a few more or less quiet adults hanging out in a nice floor in an empty room, is off the charts. memory fools us into imagining that we can recall events with some degree of accuracy. That's part of its nature. But you can see that it's really impossible to remember any event with any degree of accuracy. Because each moment is too weird, too rich, too transmutative, and doesn't last. How could you remember something that actually can't last, and yet we recall our entire lives with tremendous confidence? What exactly is happening? Isn't memory odd, that it makes it appear, though it's occurring in the present, that's the only place memory can occur, is in the present, that it's giving you an accurate picture of events in the past, none of which had any duration, and were too strange to be remembered with any accuracy anyway. And yet we build a fallacious, virtual, kind of cloned copy of ourselves in imagination. This gets very strange, and for some quickly, some not so quickly. Just depends on the elasticity of the evening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This gets real strange real quickly when this resting in being doesn't conjure a future for the likes of you. What does it feel like, just for fun, to be free from future?
I'm not there yet.
How do you know? What tells you? What evidence do you have that you're not so-called there yet? Where might that be that you could say, oh, now I know I'm where you were suggesting, but...
To me, it would be a feeling that I would get, that I don't have that, you know...
It doesn't necessarily have to...
I don't have that...
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's play with it, because that's the, if you care to, because that's the yoga of what this is about. What could possibly convince you that you're not there yet? The absence of a certain feeling, right? Mm-hmm. That, no, I'm still pretty much myself, so whatever that guy was talking about hasn't happened to me yet. Right?
Well, sometimes like flattery visual images of like past and present, I guess.
It's subtle, it's quick, it's,
yeah.
Right? It's,
mm-hmm.
Yes, many.
Yeah. That then fuses with some sort of a, you know, emotional body state or something.
Mm-hmm.
That shit still happens.
Sometimes.
I know.
Here's an invitation. Each moment is an invitation to lay our weapons down. Lay our shields down. Lay our mistrust down. To not brace. To make sure that I'll be okay in my future. Yeah, it's not an imposition. It's always, you know, just an invitation. Just to play with it. And it's not even something you do. It's more an appreciation of your already present, gifted awareness. This doesn't have a future. The nature of being is, can arguably decouple from the hysteria of mind and meaning-making and discover itself pristine. And that's its non-stop presence. That's its non-stop condition, though you can't really say it's a condition. Even when I say I'm not there yet, the only way I could say I'm not there yet is through, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I take you at your word, But the way that we can say I'm not there yet is by a certain kind of conjuring or interpretation of an incredible sensitivity of feeling tones that you check in with to see, am I future free? Or do I feel like I might still be the product of, right, the future? And even having that sensitivity to call it check in with yourself, right? The nature of your feeling tone, how your mind is feeling, or your heart, or your body, or the space around you, or how high your imagination may be soaring. It's incredible that we can actually do this. That there's such a profound sensitivity of ambiguous awareness that can feel itself and say, yeah, are you free? Or you think there's something going on here? And to be able to do that already suggests that you have a fair confidence, if not a profound instinct, in what free is. Because you're contrasting one feeling, as we all do, with another feeling, and then checking in and saying, not yet. In order to do that, you already have to have a prescient and remarkable sense in your soul, if there were one, of absolute freedom, for it to shine back and say, yeah, I'm not ready, I'm not there yet. Otherwise, you couldn't make the comparison, could you?
Yeah.
So, not to be I'm never argumentative. What we're playing around with indeed is your already prescient nature. Now it's just a matter of you to get used to it. Not to accomplish, not to attain, not to take a vow, not to purify, not to renounce. Nothing. None of that. Because all of that is in the you know, materialist imagination of what a human might do to earn spiritual freedom. It's all bullshit. That can also create financial problems for a lot of institutions. Yeah.
Including myself.
Including yourself. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I right. still need a counselor for the thing.
Yeah, she'll need a counselor for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm just attached to my ass.
Yeah.
Permanently. Could use one.
Right. So it puts us out of business. That this is inexplicably, magically, already free of any and all possible adornments, puts everything out of business, most importantly ourselves. That's what we're playing with. Putting yourself out of business. So the next time any of us checks in to say, free yet? You can't answer with any confidence that says no. We're just putting no out of business. That's all. And not through loss of sleep or, you know, being shackled to the wall or being brainwashed. That stuff doesn't work so well anyway, you know. We are playing with it so that you can feel the nature of you with no pressure, no imposition, no hypnotism, no clever word forms, just you. And play around with the presence of something that might sound like no. Something that might sound like if only. Or next week.
Well, if only is a good one.
I know.
Yeah.
If only is rocks. If only. What if? We are going to put what's going to happen to me out of business. Now, feeling that, you are profound. You're not interested in manipulating anyone, convincing them of anything, seeking their approval or validation. All codependency is, in a manner of speaking, immaculately and spontaneously healed.
If only.
There's another one. Delightful, if only. Yeah. But let's just say it's worthwhile to be a pirate, right? Be bold. Flash your sword. Draw a line in the sand. Curse your enemies. Do something wild and crazy so that you can have a vital relationship with the habits of my own mind that say no, or that say if only. Right? Be bold about it. The discovery of yourself, occupying yourself with absolute confidence, which has no consequence. Should I call Adyashanti so he can come and give everyone permission to do this? Then you'll take this seriously? I spoke to Adya and he said, well, yeah, man, you should really like wake up. You know? What? Who are we waiting for to say, yeah, today's your day? God? Jesus? The Holy Trinity? Right? Who do I place my faith in that's other than me, perhaps above me, that I'm waiting to get the message that it's okay for me to wake up? It's not going to come from anywhere else or anyone else. It's not their job. It's yours. If you've got a no in there, and we all do, if there's a no, hang with the no. I would suggest don't just justify the no. Don't just give it authority. Look into the genesis of the presumption of no, rather than take it for granted that the answer is no, and maybe next lifetime. It was really nice hanging out with you guys, but this is a big no right here. But next lifetime, if we have the privilege of meeting each other, count me in.
Well, it is very eye-opening. I feel a little confused, only because I feel like everything that I've ever maybe been taught or told or believed should be or is doesn't have to be. And so that confuses me a little bit.
Or a lot.
A lot, yeah.
If you're like me,
it does. And mm-hmm. I think there doesn't have to be a source for me to believe in to be forgiven or to be able to move forward or
yes.
to have that has
yep.
not control over me, but that I ask to give or ask for things.
Yes.
Control.
That's right.
And it's like all that trying to let it go.
Yeah.
Is mm-hmm. where my head is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Disorienting.
Yeah. This is painful, this yeah. shit. Mm-hmm. This it's awakening shit is painful. We think, let's do TM and we'll fly above the ceiling and we won't have to brush our teeth anymore. Oh, I love it. You know, the way that stuff is sold is just so rude.
Adyashanti wrote his poetry book. It's about as fun as being burned alive at the stake.
It
feels
that way.
How's that for a hard sell?
Well, it's you know.
I wouldn't say awakening is that much different.
I think it's more luscious than that. He's somewhat of a he likes to use drama to get his point across from time to time. I'm not like that.
You're not that way at all.
No. I'm staid and unreliable. Disinteresting and without an ounce of humor.
This is like really obvious.
He shows
sure.
up with donuts.
Yeah. Everybody's like thought of this, I'm sure, but you know that whole like if everything's like a myth, that's sort of like that whole being in the world but not of it. Right? So I'm sure it's all been very, very clear. But I just occurred to me.
That Jesus guy was on.
That Jesus guy, yeah.
All right. Stand back, Jesus. So yes, when we begin to chart or graph the profundity of the belief systems that we hold dear, and the reflex where we might seek approval or guidance, power, and courage from a sacred or supreme source that's other than us, outside us, and presumably above us. All of this gets played around with as we, if we're so inclined, sink into or rest here, where there's no imaginative folly. Without imaginative folly, there would be no God of our imagination. There might still be this, and I'm always enjoy referring to this as God. Use the metaphor of your liking. But now this, as the miracle of me, I'm not looking to supplicate or get strength from anything other than this as myself. But that doesn't mean to put Jesus or Abraham, Muhammad, and all of our other friends out of business. It's also nice to be in a delightfully trusting and intimate devotional relationship with God as Mother, and God as Father, and God as Buddha, and God as Kuan Yin, and God as a redwood. I mean, come on, it rocks here on Earth. You can turn everything, and why not turn everything into the Supreme, into the Supreme Being. Tinkerbell, Peter Pan,
Jojo's,
the works. What the heck? So it can be really disconcerting and confounding to shift our loyalty, right? I mean, the profundity of my loyalty is not trivial, is it? I mean, you're talking about, you know, the soul and the heartbeat and the profundity of, let's say, a human being that's given his or her attention to the mystery of living. So if we're talking about shifting loyalties, that can really rock your boat, rock your world. And there's no premeditation to rob you of your loyalties. There is a premeditation, you could say, for feeling this. Looking at its nature. Playing around with that membrane of, does it feel good to be free from any future? Does it feel good to be free from the notion that you're the consequence of anything? How does it feel to consider that psychological time is a myth of dreaming? That the circumstances and events of your life are simply being handed to you like on a silver platter of absolute liquid bliss? Even when we get excited and upset and feel that we've been injured somehow.
Yeah.
Even then.
That doesn't go away.
The unfortunate realization that accompanies that, whatever you're feeling, disappears so quickly. And
yes.
If you think it's going to last, then you can recognize, what the hell am I hanging on to?
It's also very startling to see the liquidation of oneself from moment to moment. It can also be a little disconcerting. You might want to spend a day under the covers.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem very scary sometimes. It's spooky.
Well, here it is. I mean, it's doing what it does always. This moment is no more special or worse than any other that we think we can recall having. This is liquidating here, right now. It's just goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I thought I said goodbye. Oh my God, it won't quit. It just keeps disappearing, but it doesn't stop. what the... And if you look at any moment, you'll see that it has no measurable duration. It has no duration at all. Because this is liquidating and refreshing as a simultaneity, not one following the other. Here it is, right? Your present experience is liquidating and refreshing as a simultaneity. You're not staying still. Everyone's not frozen. This keeps expressing. But no moment lasts. Can't be found, the so-called moment that's gone, and keeps refreshing, but it doesn't stay long enough to say, hey, thanks for coming, because it's already gone. Right? So the refreshment and the liquidation of what we call the nature of time is a simultaneity. Having no duration. What the fuck is going on? And how do we manage to create or cobble together an injured or injurable self in the midst of an ongoing miraculous liquidation? And we want to blame memory for our confidence in self? Memory is apparitional.
Wow.
It's not even blame memory. It's like, if you reach for, you know, what is this self, that's all you get. It's just mind maybe crash. Lots of it memory. Hypothetical. There's no real evidence.
As being reflects itself to itself through meaning making, then it's all abstract hypotheticals. It's just a cacophony of story and metaphor. So without explanation or causal retribution, this is, let's say this becomes so relaxed that, all right, it's not trying to convince itself of anything.
Or the opposite. It gets really desperate to convince itself of everything.
Absolutely.
And holds on a lot tighter, and that's really painful.
Thank you. Yes, of course.
Treat the imagination like going to a movie. Like there's movies, and then there's...
Yeah. Oh, you remember what happened in Inception when everything kept disappearing?
Yeah.
And we didn't know if he was asleep or awake, and the thing was spinning. We don't know if it was going to... I remember that one. Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, you're saying, like, just why you kind of watch yourself as if it's like a movie in some...
Yeah.
Even if you are, you know... Yeah, you're like crying and being dramatic and doing all kinds of ridiculous stuff, and you're just like, okay.
We have
this was a good one.
Yeah, I know.
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
It gets harder to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But you can still be immensely, like, in pain and fear and crying and whatever, but still somehow bizarrely... not taking it as seriously, or not seeing it as...
You can't ignore the part of you that's just seeing it as a character in the movie. It's just seeing it, like Jeff was saying, with the folks here,
just
everybody's playing their own part. You
see that it's just, like, happening. You know, you're not... There's no... It's like, you know, light moves, you start crying, you hear a song, or whatever it is, it's like, oh, God. This is out of control.
Every moment you're baked by wonder. Absolutely baked by wonder. The capacity not to see that is strange. The capacity to convert this into something familiar, predictable, controllable, and to be feared, is incredible.
So, I don't even know what I'm going to say here, and I don't know if I can bring it to any kind of coherent wording.
I'm listening. I need to get something to drink.
It's going to come out and stammer because I don't know what I'm going to say, but...
It's a 14-day moment.
Well, the whole idea of the story, you know, that we identify as attached to us, as opposed to the story on television. I mean, we want to experience it without too much filtering through our own personal narrative or make it suffering or sticky. Is there any merit to just stop, when experiencing, stopping thought and story? Because that can be done, I think. And there is a, you know, that has a different feeling than
thinking sucks.
Yeah, thinking. So, I mean, there's certain things that can be done to kind of halt all that.
Yeah.
Yet, there's since... But the stories are going to still continue.
Here they are.
Yes. You know, either through what, you know, everybody's doing, or what memories, or what visual imagery is coming and going.
Well, all that's happening is the stories, apparent stories, are continuing now. That's all you can say. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't push this into the future and say stories are going to continue.
No.
You can only see what's happening right here at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Here at hand, depending on how you're framing what you're feeling, seeing, expressing, right? It's kind of like our stories continuing for you. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm not, you know, please, stories are the miracle of the Divine Mother. I'm not asking to give them back.
That's what, well, so what...
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here it is.
I feel frustrated, like I have some sort of expressive disorder.
We all do.
We all do. Yes.
But we all do.
It's called Asperger's.
No one can do this. No one can do this.
That's a profound statement. No one can do
that. Yeah.
We're stuck with an instrument whose nature is to perpetuate the myth.
Are we stuck with that instrument?
It looks like we're immersed in it. And we end up having to use it to inquire into something other.
Well, if there's no... Yes, all that. But let's say there's no you in the formula. And that's just doing what it does. Are you stuck? I would shake my head. No. So yes, it does all that. It appears to be doing that because it's still here. We're trying to what? We're trying to put this out of business, but it's like, ha ha, it's not going to work. We can't put it out of business, but we're not stuck with it.
What other equipment can we use?
For what? To do what, sir? Do nothing. You don't need any more equipment. You're Batman. You got the utility belt envy of the neighborhood. What do you need to do? With what equipment?
Get a glimpse of other.
Here we are.
Yeah.
This is the glimpse. This is the glimpse of other. It's only in the very intimate reflex of meaning, conjuring self, that there's the appearance of a dichotomy.
Well, I don't see. The alternative seems to be to feel something. I don't trust that either.
What's that?
Well, the alternative to what, though?
To languaging, creating a language structure.
Yes.
To perform this inquiry.
Oh, right. Ah, well.
So it's all.
Isn't
there's,
this?
There's no way to get out of it. We're always in it.
Yes, but you're not in anything. And so there's no real need to get out of anything.
In it,
the sense of being
separate.
In a thing, right, has to create even a soft one, even a translucent boundary field.
I'm stuck with Plato's notion of the shadows on the wall.
Yeah?
If that's the reality we're living.
Hmm.
And there is something casting a shadow.
Hmm. Well, you might want to take that up with Plato.
I haven't seen that movie.
Is this the one with Brad Pitt with the heel, with the arrow through the tendon in the heel? Is that Plato? No, that's Achilles. Damn. But Brad Pitt, I'm sure he was like, he was a philosopher in one of those films with a toga. Yes, so that's cool.
It's a cool image. And it doesn't mean that it's knowable.
Well, again, you know, what do we mean by any word that we utter?
Well, that's the problem.
Yes.
That's the super end.
Well, you could say it's the problem, but it's also the key out. It's the key out. What is the meaning of any word you utter? Does it only have one true indication? Can't you use 1,000 words in 1,000 ways in 1,000 moods to suggest something wholly transcendent from the way that you used it 5 minutes ago?
Remember Marklar on South Park? The aliens that say Marklar? Every noun, verb, or adjective is Marklar. Like, how do you tell people apart? They're standing in a line. They're like, hey, Marklar. And like, one at the very end is like, hey.
That'll do it. Watch more South Park.
Yeah, and then just go to
wish I had a more platonic or Plato-ific way of responding to your question, but it turns out to be watch more South Park.
No reference here, guaranteed.
Are we in anything? Is the nature of experiencing the irrefutability of that something's going on? Is it a container? Is it a jail cell? Am I contained? Do I feel a restlessness that I should be able to be out of it? Out of self. Out of experiencing.
Yeah, the honest answer is no. Yes.
Good place to hang out. Right? Hang out with whatever. In this way, it's another kind of I'm not sure, or it's another no, right? If I'm sitting here, whatever that is, and I'm feeling like I'm the product of something, consequence of something, I have a future, I have a past, I'm feeling stuck, perhaps jaded, I'm the product of, I'm not absolutely satisfied, I'm not liberated from all imagination. There's no more vital place to be than right there. Right at the cutting edge of the imagination of some kind of incarceration or frustration which appears to limit myself. Because all of the drama that occurs in the so-called explosive life, you could say is all a theatrical presentation of that profound investigation, that profound intimacy. This is exactly the membrane of the imagination of self that we're politely, more or less voluntarily, putting under our own microscope. My microscope can't help you, can it? You have to place the imagination of your own corporeal durability under your microscope. But if we want tools, get them. Go get them. They're out there. You know, I mean, there's fantastic tools. They can be Christian tools. They can be tools of faith, tools of wonder, right? Tools of talking in tongues, tools of healing, tools of therapy, shamanic endeavor, incredible acts of endurance, right? Even periods of overwhelming depression and paralysis. Those are tools too. Having wealth, having nothing. Falling in love, losing a dear friend or parent or partner. These are all tools. The Divine Mother, let's hold her responsible for everything under the sun, right, is giving you more tools than you can shake a stick at for the durability of your so-called lifespan. You want tools? Right at your feet. Millions of them. Many of them, perhaps the best ones, are free. The best tools in life are free. Is that a movie or a song? But it had to, if it was a song, it had to have been in a movie.
Yeah, from a musical, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm having a Tommy Tune moment. There was a guy, 6'7", right?
Right? Tall.
When he spoke, everybody sang. It's really fun to hunker down with a nice cup of Joe and a good friend. And
I think it's how to succeed in business without really trying. Sorry.
Oh, how to succeed. Thanks. No, we had to have it. Thanks for the closure. Yeah. Really.
Otherwise, we would have been up all night.
Would you please come to our retreat? We need you there.
We do need you there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your closing.
No,
just,
we'll close with that. How to succeed in business without really trying.
It's sort of relevant.
I'm not sure that's true.
For how to fail miserably, you figure it's about the same.
Yeah.
How to get enlightened with that really trying.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Failure at every turn.
Thank you for coming, for making the wrong turn and being late and willing to sit with us.
Thank you for allowing me.
Glad you came in this building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a weird dream, I'm sure.
What?
The water's running.